For Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center, Family Vision Center, of course, being here in Atlantic, and Lyman Ag Supply, guess what, is down in Lyman. This is Bob Evensee along with Grant Jelly, the conservation officer for Cassonadare Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning.
A lot of good things going on in the world. This weekend's a big, big time for Dad to take the kids fishing, or kids take the dad fishing.
You betcha. Yeah, this is one of the best times of the year, in my opinion, as far as pond fishing or just having success fishing on lakes in general. But it's a great opportunity to take Dad out this weekend for Father's Day. But not only that, it's a great opportunity for Dad to take kids out and get them involved in the outdoors as well. So the bluegill spawn is pretty well going strong right now. There's a lot of the local lakes where they're catching some really nice bluegill, and bluegill definitely my favorite fish, but it's a fish that is really good to start young kids out on because the action is usually pretty quick. It keeps their attention span going, if you will, and you can catch some really nice bluegill with minimal equipment. You don't need a big fancy boat to do it, and it's something you can do from the bank. So we've been hearing some pretty good reports from Lake Anita is doing well on bluegill. Prairie Rose is also another one that's doing well. Meadow Lake, they're spawning there. Lake Icaria, they're doing fairly well. And Green Valley, I was down there the other day working. Green Valley's been really hot this summer, and they've been catching some nice walleye down there. Summit Lake, which is right across the road from Green Valley, they've been doing really well on crappie this spring and early summer. So, you don't have to drive very far from Atlantic or Cass or Adair counties to have lots of different options on where you can go. And most all of these places have got really good bank fishing opportunities. So It's, just throw your gear in the car and take off and enjoy the day with the kids and hopefully catch some nice fish.
You bet. And Dad, don't get too excited. Let the kid fish. I've seen a lot of dads, they get a fish on the line, and all of a sudden the dad's got the rod and trying to get, making sure we don't lose it. Let the kid fish. If he loses a fish, he's learning a pretty good part of the sport.
You bet. Yeah, I've taken my daughter out quite a few times this year, and not too long ago, we don't know what it was, but it was big and it broke her line, and boy, she broke down and cried on me. So,
sure, yeah.
But that's good because she was excited about it. So, it's a good time to get the kids out, and also a good friendly reminder that if you're 16 years of age or older in Iowa and you're going to be doing some fishing, you need to be properly licensed. It's one of those things where sometimes when I'm out, I see families fishing, and then before you know it, the kids are 200 yards away playing on the playground, and mom or dad or both are sitting there fishing on their own, and if you walk up to them, sometimes they don't have a fishing license, and they say, well, I was taking the kids. Well, that may have been true at the start, but you're fishing by yourself now, and if you're going to be doing that, you definitely need to be sure you've got a fishing license in your pocket. So for $19, it's a good investment. You can have a lot of fun with a $19 license. You can get a lot of trips out of that. So I just want to encourage folks, if you're going to be helping the kids out or fishing yourself, to make sure you've got a license.
You bet. The crying is not unusual. I was up in Canada one time. I was first day, brand new rod and reel. I'm all set up and excited about things, and I was sitting in the front of the boat, and I went to change hands with my rod. I watched it go until it was out of sight in the lake. So
yeah.
I about broke down crying.
Yeah, you
on
bet.
That. Yeah, you bet. Well, we're talking about water down in Missouri, then I suppose the bullfrogs are mating, and that's kind of a big deal, particularly down in your old part of the country.
Yeah, it sure is. Bullfrog season was a big opener for us, particularly in the southeastern part of the state of Missouri where I used to work, and it could look like deer season at times. They had a lot of ditches down there, a lot of farm ponds, and it was a very popular sport. Now, that being said, and I'm sure it's true here in Iowa as well, we had really seen a decline in the bullfrog numbers over the years, and don't really know what that can be contributed to. I suspect it may have something to do with perhaps some of the chemicals that are being used on fields, or loss of habitat or draining of ponds, or, you know, just not as many wet marsh areas as there once was. But yeah, it's a another great opportunity to get the kids out, and, you know, if you grab a nice flashlight and some bug spray, you can have a whole night's worth of fun catching bullfrogs with the kids. So, and they're pretty hard to beat on the table too.
You bet. You can't go a day in this life without learning something new, and I learned something new this morning. I found out that June is the second biggest deer movement month of the year, as opposed to the rut in the fall. I did not know that.
Well, and I was that was something new to me too. But after reading and hearing that, I think it's certainly true. If you pay attention, you're going to start seeing more dead deer on the roads. I've certainly myself in my travels and while out on patrol, I've been seeing a lot more deer moving around at all times of the day. And the reason for that is, you know, they should, almost all of them have had fawns by now, the does, and they spend a lot of time, you know, when you're producing milk, they've got to consume a lot of food. So they're out wandering around looking for food. And it's also a good opportunity to remind people that if you find a deer fawn, leave it be, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. That's kind of one of the big things that we get calls about sometimes is, well, I've got a fawn that's in my flower bed, and I haven't seen the doe for days. Well, you're not going to. She's going to come in there after dark and feed it. And sometimes they put them in really strange locations where you wouldn't think would be the best. But by doing that, they leave them there, and then they get the heck out of there. And, you know, deer fawns are born with virtually no scent to them, so predators really have a hard time unless they trip over them. And you know, mom is obviously full of scent, and she tries to keep herself away from her babies so that her scent doesn't attract predators, because she can get away from them a lot easier than they can. So if you see these things, and I've had a few calls about people finding them or a dog of theirs bringing them up into the yard, which happens a lot. And if they're not dead or badly injured, it's okay to pick them up, take them back to the woods, and leave them alone. People sometimes buy into that old wives' tale that, why am I got my scent on them? No, mom will never come back. And that's simply not true. So it's okay to pick them up, move them, and even if they're in your yard, if you're going to mow yard or something like that, it doesn't hurt or is not going to harm them to pick them up and go set them at the edge of the woods and go on about your day. So it's okay to look at them, but just don't bring them in the house and put them in a cage. That's where people sometimes, with good intentions, do the completely wrong thing.
Those new fawns, they are the best behaved youngsters in the world, because I've ridden a horse right up to where my horse's hooves are a foot away from them, and they don't blink an eye or don't do anything, and they won't run. And then when they get a little older, you'll see, in like in a brome field or something, a little wake where they're running. But they do obey mama.
Yeah, I wish humans had developed some of those traits, maybe.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Into spring like we are, weather's been pretty good for our hatching season, and boy, we're in it right now.
It is. We've had a few thunderstorms, which we've needed some rain, but we just don't want to see a lot of rain with the really cool nights. That's what can really hurt our pheasant hatch, or even turkeys for that matter. Those are two ground nesting birds that really depend on good weather conditions for a successful hatch and raising of their young. So, yeah, you're not seeing many pheasants. I'm seeing a few roosters out and about right now, but hens have all but vanished, which is a good sign. They're on their nest, or they're hunkered down, you know, taking care of the chicks right now. And, you know, those birds are totally dependent upon the weather. So if we get through a few weeks and they can get some feathers started, they should be in good shape to make it, you know, to hopefully get a little bit bigger, and we should have a good fall.
When we were going
season.
Through that big decline in the pheasant population, we had several springs where it was just wet, and then it was cold for days afterward, and then it misty and everything, and
you bet.
That loss of heat was the real killer, wasn't it?
It was, and then, you know, I also think that probably at that time you had some really harsh winters going on too, which mm-hmm. can also really take a toll on birds, particularly ice is really bad for them. So, Yeah, they're totally dependent upon the weather. But you know, this is a, we talked a little bit about it in the last show, but this is also a good time to remind landowners, if you can hold off on mowing for a little while yet, I know it's hard sometimes, but rather than go out and mow a fence line or a ditch, you know, maybe think about the pheasant nest that you may be running over. I've had a couple of calls in the last few weeks about deer fawns getting run over by hay equipment. So if it can be held off for just a little bit longer, it really will help the wildlife in that area.
Okay. One more item on my list. A month or so ago, you were up in Wisconsin going to a water safety learning school, and you kind of made the statement to the boys up there, I don't have any worries about that back in my counties. And while you were gone, we had an accident. And then just this last week, we had another one over at Lake Anita on one of those real windy days.
Yeah, we did. I probably should have stayed home because it seems like that training was bad luck. But we've had a boat capsize a few days ago on Lake Anita. I don't know a whole lot of details about the incident other than I do know that it has been extremely windy for the last week or so, and the boat took some waves, I would assume, and began to capsize. They did have life jackets in the boat, which is good. It's not only good, but it's the law, and, you know, it may be, I don't know the particulars of the incident or what the boat looked like, but you know, sometimes if you get out there, I don't care if you've driven 100 miles, and you've got a small boat, and you see waves white capping out there, it may be a good time to fish from the bank, you know, because you can get out there. I've got a 16-foot boat, and I was out there one day where the wind came up out of nowhere, and I was in no danger, but I was getting wet, and quite frankly, it just wasn't much fun to be out there, so... You definitely, if you are going to brave those conditions, make sure you've got life jackets available and ready. If it's real windy and in bad conditions like that, it's probably a good idea to make sure that they are readily accessible rather than stowed away somewhere in a compartment that takes you 10 minutes to get to. Yep. But it's a good reminder because I've run into some kayakers in the last few weeks on not just Lake Anita, but a lot of smaller lakes, and... First thing I asked him was, hey, hold up a life jacket. And I had a few responses. Oh, I left it on the dock. And I said, well how's that going to help you if you fall in the water or you hit your head and you're unconscious? So unless you're 13 and older, you don't necessarily have to have it on, but it has to be in the vessel itself. So make sure that you've got life jackets because they can certainly save lives.
That law is backwards. The kids are better swimmers than the adults are, so that should be probably reversed to be logical, but maybe. Everybody put them on, and probably sometimes you get water coming over the boat, and you need to have some kind of a bailing tool, and I don't know whether many people think about that or not, but it's something that should be top of the list.
You bet, or just a simple check over of the boat. Make sure your bilge pump's working. You know, that's another good one. Sometimes people head out I was out on a lake a few weeks ago, and these people put this boat on the water, and you could tell they were first-time boaters, and they hadn't gone 50 feet, and the motor quit on them, and it was windy, and it was blowing up on shore, so I helped them get back to the dock. But, you know, when we got to the dock, we had a little equipment checklist session, and they failed. They didn't have a fire extinguisher, they didn't have a type 4 throwable, so they were missing a lot of, you know, necessary pieces of equipment that you have to have on a boat before you hit the water. And we kind of talked about the stuff that we needed and why it's important, and I'm happy to report the next time I saw them out there, by God, they all had life jackets, so it's good to see.
Super. On top of all that, don't forget to put the plug back.
You betcha. Yep.
For the Lyman Ag Supply in Lyman, Iowa, and the Family Vision Center in greater downtown Atlantic, this has been Bob Ebensee along with Grant Jelly, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report.